The reading is taken from Romans 8, beginning at verse 26, verses 26 to 30. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. We're continuing in our series on prayer, Jesus's prayer, and today the theme is praying in the Spirit, it being Pentecost Sunday. The first scripture I want to give you actually connects with last week's passage where we heard Sharon speak about the armor of God and praying, deliver us from evil. Ephesians 6:18 says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Having put on all the armor, pray in the Spirit on all occasions. And that links back to Ephesians 3:16, where Paul writes, out of his glorious riches, God will strengthen you with power through his Spirit. And then you know that God will be able to do immeasurably more than all that we ask or imagine, according to his power at work within us. So praying in the Spirit is linked to the power of God at work in us. I think back to a book that I read of Jackie Pullinger and her story in, what was it called, Chasing the Dragon, where she was in Hong Kong and discovered that when she began to pray in the Spirit, just as the Spirit led her, that she would then find that things began to change. People's lives began to be affected. The gospel was much easier to spread. She found barriers were falling down as she, as a regular habit, began to pray in the Spirit. She was praying in tongues. That's not the only way to pray in the Spirit, as we'll see. But barriers began to be broken down. The gospel found roots because she began to pray in that way. I find on Thursday mornings at the prayer meeting at 7 o'clock, do come whenever you'd like to, I find that there is passionate prayer that goes on. There's often excitement in prayer, and there's certainly always a sense of real engagement in prayer, which I believe is the Spirit leading the prayers and enabling us to pray. And I must say, I find I often pray in that way. What does praying in the Spirit mean? And how different is it from any other type of praying? I'm not actually sure that there is any other way truly of praying. Just as you would say that there is no way of being a Christian apart from the Spirit. Romans 8:9 says that. If you don't have the Spirit, then you don't belong to Christ. I don't think there is really any other way of praying than praying in the Spirit. What you might call normal praying, the other way of praying, would probably be something initiated from my mind or my will, my hopes, my intentions, my needs. And so because of what I need, I pray. And so in that sort of prayer, one might come to God with an agenda, with a prayer list, things one hopes he will do, requests, even demands, I suppose. Or one might use set prayers, liturgy, prayers that have been written by people from centuries before, all of which is a good way of praying, but it may not always be or may not become praying in the Spirit if it's initiated by me and just my needs. One of the best Spirit prayers is actually a rather immediate knee-jerk reaction and response to trouble when we just say, God, help. That's possibly the Spirit initiating it. All these ways of praying can have their right place, but they can be limited in scope because they start with me and my situation. Praying in the Spirit starts and ends with God, not me, and thus is unlimited in scope. Romans 8:26 says, I don't know how to pray as I should, but he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with the will of God. I was reading an article by Giles Fraser, who calls himself the Loose Canon, writes in The Guardian. I hadn't bought The Guardian, I found a copy of it lying around. Actually down at Southstoke in the... It's all right. Down at Southstoke during the Thy Kingdom Come prayer, and there are all sorts of newspapers lying around. I found this article by Giles Fraser, and he said, prayer is not a way of telling God the things he already knows, nor is it some act of collective lobbying whereby the Almighty is encouraged to see the world from your perspective if you screw up your face really hard and wish it so. Prayer is mostly about emptying your head, waiting for stuff to become clear. There is no secret formula. I thought that was actually quite helpful. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Basically, I think it means to let God do the praying. And since our sermon series theme is Jesus' prayers, let's look at Jesus as our chief example and his relationship with the Spirit. So when you look at Jesus and the Spirit, you see, first of all, of course, he was anointed by the Spirit at his baptism, and God was pleased with him. He was anointed for mission. Luke chapter 4, he said, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me to preach good news and do all the rest. And then Jesus was sent out into the wilderness in the Spirit to wrestle in prayer. We read in Luke 10:21 that as Jesus prayed, he was full of joy through the Holy Spirit. Clearly, he had a relationship with God through the Spirit that affected his prayer. His prayer was so intense that in Luke 22:43, there in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was so passionate that he sweated blood. He was incredibly engaged in prayer. He made it clear in John 3, the famous chapter where Nicodemus comes to him, that you cannot enter, cannot even see the kingdom of heaven, or if you like, no spiritual reality, unless you are born of water and the Spirit. The Spirit is essential for understanding what God is doing. And in John chapter 4, he speaks about the Father seeking worshippers in spirit and in truth. Jesus' relationship to the Spirit is summed up in John 6:63, where he says, the words I have spoken to you are full of spirit and life. And that's true of all the words of Jesus that he spoke to us and that he spoke in prayer. They're all full of the spirit and life. It's what I would call having a prophetic edge to everything, which I believe is what we're meant to do in preaching and in praying and in living, that we are all the time looking to see what God is doing and responding to that. That's the prophetic edge. It's why we call ourselves a Word and Spirit church, because we want to have both. And Jesus promised the Spirit to empower the disciples. He said in Acts 1:8, "Wait until the Spirit comes upon you, and you will receive power to be my witnesses." And then, of course, on the day of Pentecost, this day that we remember and celebrate, on that day of Pentecost, the Spirit came, fell upon the disciples with tongues of fire and with languages that God gave them, and praise and power in the cutting edge of the gospel. Jesus and the Spirit. But how can we pray in the Spirit? Well, firstly, if you look at the end of Acts chapter 2, at the end of Peter's sermon, once the Spirit has come down, we read, "Repent, believe, be baptized, and you will receive the Holy Spirit." So it would seem that to pray in the Spirit, we need to come with that spirit of repentance. Equally, we pray with an acknowledgement of the Lordship of Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 3, Paul writes that you cannot say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit. And so that declaration of the Lordship of Jesus is a Spirit word. We need to pray in the Spirit continually, acknowledging him as Lord. We need to pray with passion. In Acts chapter 2 on that day, there was apparent drunkenness. Everyone thought that they were full of wine. And if you go into Ephesians chapter 5, then we read, "Be filled with the Spirit, but not drunk." And it would seem that the two states have maybe similar symptoms sometimes, similar manifestations. And I wonder if you remember back in the Old Testament, in 1 Samuel, when Hannah was in the temple praying for a son, and Eli saw her and mistook her praying for drunkenness. He accused her of being drunk, but she said, "No, I was pouring out my soul to the Lord." Passion in the way of praying. That's to be praying in the Spirit. Do you pour out your soul to the Lord when you pray? Or is it more in the head, words that are being communicated, which is okay, but it needs to take the heart? Or with compassion, strong, intense, agonizing prayer. That's the sort of prayer that comes out when we've just heard the news that we've heard today about London and yet more atrocities and brutality. The response comes from deep inside, from the bowels. It comes from somewhere deep inside, compassion, feeling for the person that you're praying for. Jesus had compassion on the people because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And that sheep without a shepherd phrase is picked up from Numbers, where Joshua is spoken about one who had compassion to these sheep without a shepherd. And it said, because he is a man in whom is the Spirit. That compassionate response to need and the Spirit are very closely linked. And then, of course, praying in the Spirit might involve praying with Spirit groans, as we read a moment ago in Romans 8, 26 to 30. The Spirit intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Which might mean that sort of compassionate groaning I've talked about, but it might also mean specifically praying in tongues. Certainly, praying in the Spirit is the way that we need to pray when it is hard, when it's impossible. Romans 8, 26 in the New International and the King James Version says, "We do not know what we ought to pray for." The Revised Standard Version says, "We do not know how to pray as we ought. And the New Living Translation says, we don't know what God wants us to pray for. It's three different ways of saying the same thing. We just don't know. And the Spirit helps us if we pray in all these ways, with repentance, with acknowledgement of the Lordship of Jesus, with passion, with compassion, and with Spirit groans. Let me just say something quickly about speaking in tongues. I believe it's a gift of God, positively affirmed in Scripture, particularly in 1 Corinthians 14. And it's useful for upbuilding and praying effectively. It's a prayer language that transcends the language barrier, which enables prayer when words are not enough and when they run out. And that often happens to us. And it's also an exercise in total trust, in which you cooperate with God, you move the muscle in your mouth, and He ensures that it is a language. So you trust Him for the language that He is giving. You need to focus not on the language or the sounds, but on the Lord. Focus on what your heart says about Him and to Him. And when you're trying to do this, and I do encourage you to do it, then what you need to be aware of is inflection and emphasis and feeling in the way you express what you're expressing, which often, even in English, expresses so much more than the actual words. For example, I could say, oh no. Or I could say, oh no. Or, oh no. Those three are the same words. They have very different meanings, don't they? Inflection, expression, emphasis, feeling. Those are the things that make tongues communicate in a way that is real, deep, and connects. I encourage you to try it. I always use it when I'm praying for people's healing, because that's one of the times when I don't know what to pray. I often use it, and I used it last night when I heard the news of London. I don't know what to pray, so I will pray in the Spirit. There's difficulty in praying, but this is one way of helping us when things are not clear or immediate. Here, the Message version of the passage that we heard goes like this. Meanwhile, the moment we get tired in the waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside, helping us along. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying in us and for us, making prayer out of our wordless sighs, our aching groans. He knows us far better than we know ourselves, knows our pregnant condition, and keeps us present before God. That's why we can be so sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. The results of praying like this will be effective prayer when we can't manage it. It will be building us up, edifying us, strengthening our faith. It will unlock praise. It will open up to us the mysteries of God. Much more I could say about that. It will even unlock for us many of the other gifts of the Spirit that are all available. There is so much more when we pray in the Spirit. Out of His glorious riches, He will strengthen you with power through His Spirit, and you will experience how God is able to do immeasurably more than all that we ask or think. Amen.